The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yesterday, Irish troops in Lebanon came under small arms fire while carrying out a joint patrol with the Lebanese armed forces. No injuries or damage has been reported, and the Irish troops are said to be safe. An Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has blamed the Israeli Defence Forces for the shots fired towards the Irish and Lebanese soldiers. He's just received a briefing from the new Chief of Staff of the Defence Forces on what happened, and he joins us now to give us an update. Taoiseach, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for your time.
What has the Chief of Staff been telling you?
So, yes, I just spoke with the new Chief of Staff of the Defence Forces, Rossa Mulcahy, and I want to wish him well as he takes up his appointment. And we obviously discussed what happened yesterday in southern Lebanon, specifically in an area called Jaroun, where basically six members of the Irish Defence Forces were out on patrol in two armoured vehicles. And their mission yesterday was their primary mission to support the Lebanese armed forces. So they were out with the Lebanese armed forces, and the Lebanese armed forces were assisting local civilians who were working on the reconstruction of a farmhouse. Whilst in that vicinity and while that work was underway, some Israeli defence vehicles approached. And at 11:46 a.m., a shot was fired. Three more shots were then fired. And over the course of the next kind of 9 or 10 minutes, around 20 to 25 further shots were fired. Now, it should be said, these were shots that were not fired at our Defence Force personnel, but were shot in the vicinity. And as you know, Pat, and as everybody will know, there are very clear rules around peacekeeping and around protection of peacekeepers. And of course, the Israeli Defence Forces would have been very much aware that members of Oglig Na Héireann.
Could these be understood to be kind of warning shots?
So that is a phrase that is often used. Indeed, it was a phrase used by the Israeli Defence Forces in relation to the shots that were fired in the direction of Irish diplomats and others in Jenin in recent times as well. It's a phrase that I don't particularly like, because what are they warning them of? So it's in my view, it's intimidatory action.
Just to be clear, I mean, the impression when Cathal Berry was on earlier this morning, he was saying to the breakfast show that the Lebanese and UNIFIL forces were approaching this IDF crowd, who then kind of warned them off with these shots. But you're saying that, in fact, the UNIFIL vehicles and the Lebanese vehicles were static at this reconstruction of a farmhouse when the IDF were the people doing the approaching.
Yeah, that's my understanding. And I think the point here is, look, the Israeli Defence Forces haven't made any secret of the fact that they are trying to push back the blue line, if you like, and trying to create, my phrase, not theirs, but trying to create further buffer space. But obviously the blue line, the protection of the demilitarized zone, is something that is very crucial to the mandate of the UN mission. So, I mean, this action was utterly reckless, was utterly unacceptable, and is a clear breach of the international rules around peacekeeping. Immediately, Oglig Na Héireann, through our local commanders, would have convened their protest. And indeed, today, more formally, we will seek through the UN structures a demarche where we will record with the Israeli authorities our concern. But I do have to make the point, and I want to reassure your listeners, well, thankfully, everybody is okay. There's 308 men and women from the Irish Defence Forces based in Lebanon currently. I was out visiting our troops there very recently. They're doing incredible work in the cause of peace, and I know we're all very grateful for that. But yesterday was the day of the UN International Peacekeepers. It's a day we celebrate their contribution each and every year. And I think that makes it particularly reprehensible that this action took place on that day.
Now, is it possible that the Israelis knew that there were Irish troops in the UNIFIL vehicles, which are clearly marked UNIFIL? Or might they have been from another nationality, and it's not sort of some sort of antipathy towards Ireland per se?
I don't believe this was a particular antipathy towards Ireland. I believe it was more an antipathy towards the UNIFIL mission. So, yes, the Israeli Defence Forces would have been aware that there were Irish troops operating in the region. But I don't believe that's why this happened. I believe it was more really an utter disrespect and disregard for the work of peacekeepers and the mandate of the peacekeepers in terms of the maintenance of the blue line.
What reaction do you expect from Israel? I mean, they have made it clear, although they still show up in the UN, that they don't particularly have much respect for the UN as an organisation and its sub-organisations like UNRWA or indeed any resolutions passed that are inimical to the interests of Israel.
I think that is sadly true. I think that's a statement actually of the blinding obvious now, because unfortunately we have a country in Israel that is not complying with international law across a whole range of areas: international humanitarian law, international law in relation to conflict, international law, as you say, and multilateralism in respect to the work of UN organizations. I suppose that's not a reason, not that you're suggesting it is, but that's not a reason for Ireland and those of us who do value multilateralism and do support the work of UN agencies and do stand up for international law not to, of course, record our protest in relation to this. And also, we can't be intimidated in relation to the work that the UNIFIL mission are carrying out. And I'm pleased to inform people that indeed our troops are continuing to operate in their normal fashion today, are continuing to carry out their outlined planned activities today. And that's important as well. These are highly trained men and women that we're very proud of, and they're getting on with the job.
What did you make of Cathal Berry's comments that sometimes statements made publicly or in the Dáil chamber might put our troops in jeopardy? You know, comments made hostile to Israel.
No, I mean, to be honest, the first duty of every government is to protect our country, protect our state, and of course protect those who are serving in our state. And we follow all advices in relation to that. I myself was in southern Lebanon to be with the troops and to see firsthand the level of protection that we're quite rightly making sure is in place regarding that. But our troops understand that Ireland and the Irish government will always speak up for our values. And it's important that we do that. And I think particularly when you're a small country, I think often one of the levers that you actually have is that ability to articulate and call out breaches of international law and human rights, and indeed decide to take our own actions in relation to legislation with trade with the occupied Palestinian territory. And I think there's a lot of evidence now that the position that Ireland has adopted in relation to this situation is now being adopted by more and more countries, because I think people are just utterly horrified at what's happening. Horrified.
Indeed. But could we be in some way, I'll use this term maybe too loosely, but complicit in what's going on, in the sense that, according to a report on RT, 2,000 military flights stopped in Ireland over a three-year period containing munitions. Now, if they're sending munitions to NATO, that is fine. But if those munitions are en route perhaps to Israel, however indirectly, then that makes us in some way complicit by facilitating landings at Shannon.
So that's not the case, though, and I'm pleased to say that, because of course I thought, like you, when people saw that story this morning, they were going to immediately presume that meant that weapons were going to Israel to help with the activities of the Israeli government, which were very clear are war crimes. So my department, which has to provide sanction for such military aircraft to land in Shannon, are very clear that there hasn't been any sanction given for any flights transporting munitions of war to Israel. Now, there've been a very small number of flights where high-ranking officials, including political individuals from the US and others, could land. And of course, munitions of war can also include people carrying their own weaponry, their protection officers and the likes as well. What you actually see, though, and I've been looking into this morning, is exactly what you say, Pat, that the overwhelming majority of these flights, or sorry, a very significant number of these flights, were the United States taking a decision to increase its presence in NATO bases across Europe after Putin's brutal invasion of Ukraine, which I think is a thing that the European Union was quite grateful for. But in terms of transporting weapons to Israel and munitions of war to Israel, that's not borne out by the facts that we have.
Now, one thing that we do know happened is the transport of people being deported to South Sudan, not even their own country, which did land at Shannon. And it has reminders of extraordinary rendition back in the day. And I'm wondering how we can allow that to happen, or if it does happen, how we can stop it happening in the future.
So this is an area that falls under the responsibility of the Department of Transport. And I've spoken to the Minister of Transport in relation to this. And it is an area that he and the government are going to give some consideration to. Now, I have to say, in the first instance, of course, any decision of a US court as to what is a legal or illegal deportation is a matter, obviously, for the US administration, not obviously a matter for an Irish administration. And I am very conscious of that fact, that deportation policies are a matter for the US government, just like when Ireland decides to have a deportation flight, That is a matter for the Irish government. I do think, though, there are, you know, Shannon has for very many years been an extraordinarily important airport, extraordinarily important to the Midwest, and an extraordinarily important stopover for the United States for a whole variety of issues. I do think, though, it's not unreasonable that the Irish people in the very changed geopolitical environment are asking for greater kind of clarity around the various rules that are in place so that there isn't misinformation, disinformation. And I think this issue of deportation flights does merit further consideration in that context.
Now, of course, we saw a deportation, an extradition, in fact, from the Emirates yesterday of Sean McGovern to face the Special Criminal Court. And this does have a bearing on some of your briefs, because you're Minister for Defence, and yesterday you probably saw that report about the Air Corps going part-time. And also, I suppose a lot of us were shocked at the length of time it took to get from the Emirates to Baldonnel. It just said, you know, we are ill-equipped for that kind of task, to do something expeditiously, and we are concerned that the Air Corps is not fit for purpose.
So a couple of parts to that. Firstly, can I welcome the fact that we have the extradition treaty with the United Arab Emirates? And I think without cutting across any ongoing criminal processes, I think we're seeing the benefit of having that extradition treaty in place. And we need to send out a very clear message to Irish criminals who've brought such harm and misery to so many communities, not just in Ireland, but worldwide, that you can run, but you can't hide. And to ensure that that's true, having effective extradition treaties in place between Ireland and the UAE is really important. And I was pleased to see that treaty now working. Let me absolutely assure you, there's not a question of the Air Corps going part-time. There is a question of pinch points in relation to key personnel in Baldonnel. And I'll be meeting early next week with the new Chief of Staff and with my own department to look at contingency planning in relation to this. We, of course, don't live in a country that only has one airport or one air base. And we will have to look at what actions can be taken. But I do want to assure people, particularly those who might look at Ireland not, you know, from a position of hostility, I want to assure them that our Air Corps continues to function and any pinch points will be overcome. Mm. But the broader point you're making, though, is one that I've been making since taking up this job a few months ago, which is that we do have to seriously invest in defence and national security. And we have to do it in a way that doesn't run us down a cul-de-sac every time of people saying, what about neutrality? I value Irish neutrality. We have no proposals to change Irish neutrality. The Irish people value neutrality. But just because you're neutral doesn't give you a pass on taking your own national security seriously. We have significant skies above our country and we've significant waters around our country. And we have to be able to have the capabilities. That involves a couple of things. It involves equipment like radar and sonar equipment. But it also, as we were talking about in the story yesterday, it also involves personnel. And I need to make the case and will make the case and will ensure that I win making the case within government that where there are pinch points in terms of recruiting particular specialists or technicians that we rely on, and that we are going to have to look at how we can address those retention issues, because these are people that are in short supply worldwide. They're highly skilled. And we can't find ourselves losing them to the private industry rather than our national security.
Now, finally, I just want to go back to Gaza and the aid, food aid that is beginning to get in. We heard Peter Parr this morning saying at last UNICEF is able to get some of its food aid in. But still, there are people starving and people literally desperate for food. You've seen the video footage, I'm sure, of people approaching those food places. Is there anything that Ireland can do in that regard to help?
So Ireland and the listeners to your programme and people right across the country have through their taxes contributed to enough food sitting in Jordan for 6,000 Palestinian people. We have trucks sitting there and the only reason they can't get in is the Israeli blockade on aid for the last 80 days or thereabouts. And what Ireland is doing at every possible level is making the argument that we need to see a broader settlement to the horrific crimes that are being carried out. But in the here and now, today, we need to see the humanitarian aid begin to enter. Now, we've provided very significant additional assistance to the UN agencies as well. So we won't be found wanting in terms of keeping the diplomatic pressure on and increasing our level of funding. But I have to be brutally honest here. The only reason that food in Irish trucks isn't in Gaza today is because of the Israeli blockade. And we need to really, really see countries, including the United States of America now, I think, increase the pressure on Israel to get the food in today. Children are starving. It's why we've decided to use the word that we don't use lightly in this country around genocide. But when you start actually starving a people and using food as a way of advancing your political and military motives. And that is an extraordinarily despicable situation. And I can't say I'm encouraged, because I can't be encouraged about anything like this. But seeing small bits of aid beginning to enter is, of course, somewhat welcome. But it's kind of in some ways it's almost offensive, because the scale of aid that needs to enter now, the surge of aid that needs to enter, can only be done by the lifting of the blockade.
Simon Harris, Taoiseach, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade and Defence. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.